listening to the Kill Radio Weekly News and Review. I'm your announcer, DJ Shy John. Today's date is February the 26th, 2013. Now, first of all, this week, I would like to introduce you to Dedrick Muhammad. He's a writer for the Huffington Post. Dedrick Muhammad writes, "Salaried versus hourly, and why all pay is not equal." This article is dated 12/25. It came in Monday. "If unemployment rates fall to pre-recession levels, will our economy be as healthy as it was in 2006? Not necessarily, the research shows. Even as rising housing prices and falling unemployment rates show signs of an economic recovery, it's important to note that the recession has permanently shifted our job market for the worse. A new study published by the National Employment Law Project shows that while the majority of jobs lost during the recession were in the middle income range, the jobs that have since come to replace them are lower paying hourly wage positions. According to the Fair Labor Standards Act, FLSA, employees are generally divided into two categories, exempt and non-exempt. Non-exempt employees are typically paid by the hour and are entitled to overtime pay if they work more than 40 hours a week, while exempt employees, typically salaried positions, are not eligible to receive overtime pay. As a salaried worker, you're expected to do your job in whatever time it takes. If you work less than 40 hours a week due to a medical appointment or a sick day, you still receive the same wages. The same is true if you work for 60 hours a week. For most hourly workers, if you don't work, you don't get paid. It's also true that some hourly positions can pay more than salaried positions, either due to higher pay or compensations for extra hours. But depending on your long-term plans, a salaried job with benefits, even if it pays less than an hourly job, might ultimately put you in a position of greater financial strength. In other words, it's not about what pays you more, but rather what gives you more. There are many reasons why keeping an hourly wage job for now may be advantageous. If you're trying to balance a career-building internship with an hourly job in an unrelated field to pay the bills, you may want to keep your hourly job for income as you're building your resume for a high-paying career job in the future. On the other hand, a salary job offers several valuable benefits that may outweigh higher wages. Take health insurance, for example. Studies show that the uninsured have inferior access to health care and have significantly worse health than the privately insured. And if you plan to start a family, benefits such as maternity, paternity leave, and flexible work schedules may actually translate into significant savings, even the high cost of childcare. Generally, a move from an hourly to a salaried position also comes with greater responsibility and power. Even if salaried workers start off with a relatively low income, they're still more likely to be eligible for promotions that eventually lead to more influential, higher-paying management positions. Finally, with a salaried position, you may be able to start investing in a 401k plan, a crucial part of your long-term wealth building and saving strategy. Without a retirement plan, you're totally at the mercy of the unknown and face increased risk of poverty in old age. Whether you decide on an hourly or salaried position, be sure to closely review overtime pay rules for your company, along with differences in health insurance, vacation, sick days, 401k, gym membership reimbursements, and any other company perks that you could figure into your decision along with your salary. Dedrick Muhammad is the Senior Director of the NAACP Economic Programs. To learn more about preventing foreclosure and personal finance, check out the NAACP Financial Freedom Center Facebook page or on Twitter at NAACPECON. For the entertaining part of the news today, I bring you the Harper's Weekly Review. dated Tuesday, February 26, 2013. The government of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad denied responsibility for a car bombing in central Damascus that killed 53 people and a Scud missile explosion in Aleppo that killed 58, blaming America, Zionism, and some Gulf states for their support of opposition terrorists. The United Nations rejected a year-old demand from Haiti for compensation of victims of a cholera epidemic that has infected 620,000 people, killed 7,750, and was likely introduced by UN peacekeepers following the January 2010 earthquake. The claims, said a UN spokesman, are not receivable. Benedict XVI gave his final Sunday blessing as Pope from a window in the Vatican's Apostolic Palace. Praying does not mean isolating oneself from the world and its contradictions, he said. We've come for the rugby, said a woman in St. Peter's Square. Benedict, whose philosophy a Vatican newspaper man likened to that of Tintin, discovered his address several days after the publication of an article in Italy's La Repubblica that linked his resignation to an internal Vatican report concerning a group of high-ranking gay prelates who organized sex parties in and around Rome. Age, said Nobel laureate Dario Fo, certainly isn't the only thing that burdens him. American Cardinals Timothy Dolan and Roger Mahoney, who were questioned separately about child sexual abuse committed by clergymen under their supervision, prepared to travel to the Vatican, where they will take part in a conclave in the Sistine Chapel to elect Benedict's successor. British Cardinal Keith O'Brien, who was accused by four priests of having made inappropriate advances toward them, announced he would resign rather than attend the conclave. We'll be tweeting often from Rome, tweeted Mahoney. Prayers? The church is beautiful, said one of O'Brien's accusers, but it has a dark side. Elderly Catholics in the Ukrainian town of Perkhodi attended Mass in a cistern chapel. The Obama administration formally requested that the 1996 Defense of Marriage Act be struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court, which unanimously upheld a Florida state law treating a narcotics detection dog's alert as reasonable grounds for a police search. A sniff, wrote Justice Elena Kagan, is up to snuff. A South African magistrate released Olympic sprinter and double-leg amputee Oscar Pistorius, who has been charged with the murder of his girlfriend, on bail. What kind of life would he lead? A person who has to use prosthesis if he has to flee, asked the magistrate. A life not in prison, replied the lead prosecutor. Polish language experts launched Jezik Polski Jest, A.E., a campaign to preserve diacritical marks, and the Académie Française elected its first British-born member, poet Michael Edwards. The French do like to purify, said Edwards. French Agriculture Minister Stephanie Lafolle announced that three horse carcasses from the United Kingdom had probably entered France's food chain labeled as beef, and a Welsh hamburger tested positive for horse DNA. Something else has been put in the boxes, said the hamburger's producer. We're the piggy in the middle. The Chinese government declared its intent to curtail air pollution through a ban on barbecue-related activities. Officials in Iceland reported record numbers of imprisoned pedophiles and unregistered cats. And Norwegians questioned the stacking methods employed in a 12-hour television program about firewood. One thing that really divides Norway, said a firewood expert, is bark. A judicial panel ruled that the New York Yankees are baseball's sole evil empire. Frankenstein Moman, Billy Kid Sangma, Field Marshal Maufinang, and Adolf Lou Hitler ran for assembly of the northeastern Indian state of Meghalaya, where legislators were formulating a bill to ban the employment of children in rat hole mines. An Athenian pleaded not guilty to stealing a Salvador Dali painting from a Manhattan art gallery. How this theft was committed, said New York County District Attorney Cyrus Vance Jr., was almost surreal. A Welsh boy reported missing was discovered napping under a beanbag chair. A Florida woman was shot in the leg by the oven in which she planned to heat her waffles, and 200 Belgians returned from a boer call with one wild boar. Members of a London jury were dismissed for asking questions the presiding judge said showed a fundamental deficit in understanding. Can you define what is a reasonable doubt? Wrote the jury. A reasonable doubt is a doubt which is reasonable, wrote the judge. Can a juror come to a verdict based on a reason that was not presented in court and has no facts or evidence to support it? Wrote the jury. No, wrote the judge. Bumblebees were found capable of sensing the electrostatic fields of e-flowers. Physicists studying the subatomic particle, presumed to be the Higgs boson, suggested that its mass, estimated at 126 giga electron volts, needs to be measured more accurately before they can establish whether the cosmos is a stable vacuum or a false vacuum that will be destroyed without warning. It's bad news, said one theoretician. Common moles and female golden Hottentot moles were found to sniff in stereo and to prefer large penises, respectively. Suffice to say, said one zoologist, it's probably every mole for himself. And American researchers unveiled a smartphone test for leprosy. This, said a doctor, will bring leprosy management out of the dark ages. Aren't you glad to know that? This article by Anthony Lydgate. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I've reached the end of the Kill Radio Weekly News and Review. So, as I always say, be good to one another in the coming week, and stay out of the news.